And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell!
Thank you, everybody. Welcome to Tim Dillon is Going to Hell, solo episode. Nick Bryant, friend of the show and writer of the Franklin Scandal. And the guy who leaked Jeffrey Epstein's black book to Gawker, called in sick. So for his sake, I hope the CIA is mowing him down, because here's the reality. Sick is fake. No one's ever sick. I'm going to tell you, I've never been sick in my life, and I've called out sick 80 or 90 times this year, things that I've had to do. I've been sick a few times in third grade. Nobody is sick. Go to fucking work and do what you have to do. Enough. I thought you cared about the kids. You want people to stop fucking the kids? You want to come in, spread the information? Oh, no, you got the flu. You got the flu. So I guess the kids will continue to be fucked. And I'm here solo. Fine. I like Nick. He's a great journalist, and I have a lot of respect for him. But let's stop with the sick shit. He texted me. He's like, oh, man, my age with the flu, you got to be enough. I know it's flu season. Everybody's using the flu to get out of everything. I did it last week. I get it. I know what fucking game it is. And then in the spring, everybody's going to be, my allergies, I can't even leave the house, I can't breathe. I know what it is, I know the game. Am I supposed to believe I'm the only dirtbag out here lying about being sick 75, 80% of the fucking time? No. If everybody is half as dishonest as I am about being sick, there's a lot of fucking healthy people running around not meeting their obligations. That's what I have to say about that. But I hope Nick has a speedy recovery. Wink, fucking wink. Hope you're getting laid. Hope you're doing something else. Enough with the sick shit. Get up. You know what? The toughest people I knew, my grandmother and my grandfather, no matter what they had, they were fucking at work. My parents, my father would get sick immediately, lay on a couch, and take off. My mother went to work every day, never took time off. Later in life, she did go insane. There is a trade-off. She did lose her mind. Took a lot of Sudafed, drank a lot of Tab. It's an old soda with God only knows what in it. Crack, probably. It's like banned now. Tab. But she went insane. She lost her mind later in life, but she fucking showed up for work. And the people at the pool she was working at were happy that she showed up at 5 a.m., cracked out of her face to watch elderly Jewish people do water aerobics or whatever the fuck she did. So again, we're here solo because of the flu taking people out of the game left and right. They can no longer participate because of the flu. Fine. I can talk about Epstein myself, and I will. I want to go over a few other things. There is real sickness. There's people that have like a legit GoFundMe. You know what I mean? That's real sick. And they're all over Facebook. Brianna has brain cancer. It's very sad. There's a picture of her doing something athletic. Just last year, she was in a color run. And they threw water balloons at her. And she ran 10 miles. And this year, she's stumbling around the house drooling. It's horrible. I'm not saying it's good. It's bad. It's very sad. Life is a meaningless nightmare. That being said, I cannot donate to every GoFundMe. I don't have the money. I don't have the wherewithal to do it. Neither do many of you. Many of you, like me, are good-ish people who are on social media 16, 17 hours a day, and it's a steady trickle of GoFundMes. I see a lot of GoFundMes. I see five a day, conservative estimate, five a day. And these are worthy GoFundMes. These aren't like some bullshit. You see bullshit every now and then. But every now, you know, some idiot wants a car. He's like, that GoFundMe. I need a new car to get to work. Something ridiculous. You know, there was this guy once, he was a comic from Long Island, and he put up a GoFundMe. He's like, hey, I need to get to work. I need a brand new car. And his goal was like 17 grand to get a brand new fucking car. I was like, you could get a beater for $1,500 and drive it back and forth. The guy also had kids. He's like, it would be also nice to see my kids with the car. So no, that easily identifiable is horseshit. I'm not going to fucking donate so you can get a brand new car to continue to be a bad father to your kids. But every now and then somebody, tragedy happens. People get incurable diseases, inoperable tumors. A lot of fires for some reason in the GoFundMe community. People's houses burned down. We've lost everything. These are real things. Okay? I recently had an incident. A guy that I knew growing up, I had a friend named, I don't want to say his name, but I had a friend growing up. He was one of my first friends. You know when you're growing up in the suburbs, you make a friend or two, you ride bikes together. You ride bikes, you dodge pedophiles, you fucking play Donkey Kong Country, Super Mario World. This is what you did. You swam at the beach in the summer. He was that kind of friend. He was a good kid. Recently died of a heroin overdose, I think. I don't know. I would imagine he was in and out of rehab. He had a lot of issues with that. I think that's how he died. I'm not certain. But he died, and I believe it's drugs. He wasn't in Afghanistan in a firefight with the Taliban. And I love these people on Facebook that, you know how he died. Stop in the comments. How did it happen? Can everyone stop when someone's 28 and dies? Go 3 profile pictures back. Do you see a profile picture of them standing on a beach looking at with a Bible quote? Like, I'm trying to get it together. You know how they died. How did he die? He was kidnapped by rebels in Syria. No, it was a heroin overdose. Did they upload song lyrics in the past month? They died of heroin overdose. That's what happened. These idiots on Facebook, so fucking tone deaf. How did it happen? So I felt bad for the kid. It's one of my first friends. We didn't keep in touch that much, but every now and then we kept in touch. He would shoot me a message about comedy. He'd tell me I'm funny. That goes a long fucking way with me, by the way. I have friends my whole fucking life who aren't on heroin who were not as nice as this kid was to me. He was a sweet kid. In the depths of his heroin addiction, he got on Facebook Messenger and said, hey, that status you put up the other day, pretty funny. I appreciated that. And I would message him, how are you doing? You know, you lived in Florida. And it's sad. It's tragic. I have members of my own family that are involved with drugs like that. Thank God I never did heroin. It's probably so much better than comedy. Thank God I never did it. So he died, and he's got a GoFundMe. The GoFundMe is so tragic. The mother is missing a foot because of diabetes. This is what the GoFundMe says. The mother is missing a foot. She's in a wheelchair. She's down a foot. Also, the mother has gone completely blind. Blind woman, one leg, in a wheelchair, holding her son's hand, her son dies. It is a fucking rough GoFundMe. Very, very sad. Now, I got to donate. Here's how I've decided what GoFundMes to donate to. I'm only donating to GoFundMes where I know the people and I can advance the idea that I am more successful than I am by the amount of money that I donate. I'm using GoFundMes to maintain and project an image of success and wealth. That is what I'm doing. That is what you should do. I do not donate to strangers. Sorry, can't do it. Not Warren Buffett. Okay? What I can do is look at the people I grew up with and say, I want to make them think I'm doing better than all of them. This is the place to do it. GoFundMe is the place to show people you got it like that. I don't, but I can project that. It's important that some of you might go, this is sociopathy. This is you're not a well person. This is sick. Fuck you. You know damn well you don't have the money to donate to every fucking GoFundMe. Pick the ones where you know the people, and you by donating a certain amount of money, not only are you helping someone, but you're going to bed giving people the idea that you're doing better than they are. It's very important. So this is a lot of people that I grew up with, not a ton, but a lot. And I look, guy that I knew real well donates. A lot of people are donating 50. A couple of people are donating 30. Saw a few $20, which is the ultimate fuck you. Here's 20 bucks. The ultimate fuck you to a GoFundMe is throwing them a 20, okay? I see a few 20s, a few 50s. I see now the goal is 5 G's. I think like a lunatic for a moment. I don't do this, but I think, do I go in for 5? Do I pay for this fuck's whole fucking funeral? I just did fucking Rogan. I just did fucking, I go in there with $5,000. Now, this is a moment of insanity. Thank God it's only a moment. It's only a moment. I don't do this, but this is what goes through my head. Do I go in with fucking 3,000 like a boss? It's a nice thing to do, but it shows everybody that I grew up with that I don't give a fuck. I got that money, bitch. I took the risks. And I reaped the rewards. I'm fucking in LA. I'm wiring that shit. I don't do that. I don't go in for 3. I don't go in for 3 because it's a little ridiculous. My thinking is sound, but I don't have that paper start getting liquid like that. It's too much, but I want to go in heavy. I want to go in heavy because I see people with 50. I see people throwing around 75. I'm like, I want to get messaged after I donate. I want the person who's running the GoFundMe to message me and say, God bless you. I want a God bless you. Okay? I see one of my friends donated 250. Whew! This is real now. Now it's fucking real. We're in a silent auction for who is doing the best out of the little shitty town, this little coke-dusted town I grew up in Long Island. Who's doing the best? Is it the funny guy? Is it the clown? Or am I going to let this fucking guy, one of my old friends, just throw 250 at it? I came in with 300. I came in with $300. I haven't seen this kid in fucking years. I don't give a fuck. That funeral shit's on me. Everybody, mask cards on me. 300 I come in with because I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to do the right thing. The person who set the GoFundMe up friends me on Facebook, messages me, God bless you for your generous donation. I have the fucking message. I message her, is there going to be a service? She's like, we don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Where am I going to walk around and get thanks in person for the 300? Because if there's a service, I could walk around to everyone. This is my plan. I was going to walk around to everyone and be like, I'm glad we were able to do this. Did you donate? And then they all have to look at the GoFundMe, and they all see that I went in with 3 bills. Like a fucking man. Like a man who's got his community on his back. I'm carrying my whole community. Many of you will never know the responsibility that I have. I'm one of the ones who made it out. I'm in LA doing big things. I'm in New York doing very big things. I'm donating $300. Mass cards on me. Now, I know a funeral is like $50,000. I don't know what they're going to do with $5,000. Probably a cremation. And I'm not being disrespectful. My family's going to cremate me too. Probably in an amateur fashion. in the backyard and then eat me. But I go in with three hunch. I'm going to pull up the GoFundMe right now because I swear to fucking Christ, if somebody went in with 325, and people will do that because they're spiteful as fuck, but if somebody went in with 325, and because I'm going to be away this weekend in D.C., I'm not really going to be able to attend a funeral, unless there's one tomorrow, which I don't think there will be. I will not be able to really attend a service. So let's see what we got. Let's see where we're at right now. 5,000, okay? 5,000 was the goal. We're at 4,200 right now. 2,550. Fuck! 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 Somebody did 1,000. Somebody went in a fucking $1,000. Who is this fuck? Really? A G? A fucking G? Fuck! This fucking goody two shoes cunt comes in here with a grand and fucks me up. I swear to Christ, I'm looking at a real GoFundMe right now. I am so angry. I don't know who this person is. I don't think we went to school with them. I am still the top of the people that we went to school with. Well, I think. Somebody did 350. I tell you right now, folks, can't trust anybody. I can't go in for a G. But now it really looks. I want to be at that point. I want to be making the kind of money, which is why I need you people to subscribe, rate, review. I want to be that kind of money where I can help people that know me publicly. Do you understand? That's where I want to make it in this business. So I can help people that I grew up with in a very public forum, in a public way. That's what I want to do. I'm not writing checks in silence. I'm not dumping money into shit anonymously. I want to look at the people that I grew up with and hand them the money personally. I want to hand that legless woman the cash in front of everyone I've ever known because I'm a good person. Do you understand? My point here, for those of you who are still listening and are not disgusted, is that you got to pick and choose who you can give your money to. You do not have an unlimited amount of money. If you do, God bless you, but I do not. So what you need to do is look at the people in your life that you can help publicly in front of people. You need to build social capital. With every GoFundMe donation, social capital. People need to see it. They need to be impressed by it. And you could just imagine the conversations that they have as they turn off the lights in their houses. They go, well, Tim Dillon's doing good. You see, Tim gave 300. Yeah, that guy. Guy's doing good. That guy's big time. That's nothing to him. Someone probably said that. And it's not, by the way. It's a lot of money to me. Someone went, that's nothing to that guy. That's why you do it, folks. That's why you... Now, you'll never hear them say it, but you know they're fucking saying it. You know they're fucking sitting across from each other eating fucking bagels, going, yeah, 300 to Tim Dillon is probably nothing. Guy fucking spends that on appetizers. And they're right. And they're right. That's where I'm at with the GoFundMe game now. I played the GoFundMe game wrong. I donated anonymously. $50 anonymous. Somebody's house burned down. I didn't know them. I get teary-eyed. Fuck all of that shit. Help who you know. Even if you're you know, but that's very important. So that's I just want to say that about GoFundMe. Because I am kind of a philanthropist. I am a good person. And a lot of people recognize that. They see me. They're like, oh, this whole thing you do is an act. Tim Dillon's going to hell. Yeah, not even likely I'm going to hell. I'm going to fucking heaven. Look what I'm doing. 300. 300. Some fucking, who's donating 1,000? I mean, that's a person who is probably deeply, deeply affected by this whole thing. Or they're playing the game I'm playing on a much higher fucking level. And God bless the fuck out of them. Because that's also possible. I don't know. But I just wanted to say that. And RIP, good kid. I didn't really know him because I didn't know him because here's the thing. I didn't do heroin. I put up a little picture of me and him when we were little kids on a school trip. And all my fucking cynical friends are like, did you even know that kid? You haven't seen him recently. I was like, yeah, I haven't seen him recently because I wasn't doing heroin. So it's very hard to see. You know, I've been in positions where I was a cocaine addict. And guess who I spent my time with? Other cocaine addicts. Very rarely did someone want to hang out with my crew of degenerate cocaine addicts if they weren't one. Nobody was like, you know, it'd be fun. Could maybe we get in a car with Tim and Hector and Sonia? They were two people I used to hang out with. And just do a bunch of, they could do a bunch of coke and sniffle and spit and pick their nose and eat it and rummage around for money and call dealers all night and ask if they can front them packages. And I'll just sit in the back and listen to Ricky Martin. What a fun night. No, people self-segregate, okay? So he hung out with the people who were doing the shitty, but he also, this was a good kid. He always tried to clean himself up. He always tried to fight. He was a fighter. He didn't give in at any fucking moment. I'm dead serious about that. He was a fighter. I'll remember the kid as a fighter. He was always trying to drag himself out of that life into a better life. And that is fucking very hard to do, okay? Very fucking tough. Very fucking tough to do. So you don't want to get into that shit. You don't want to get into fucking heroin. Long Island, a lot of people are dropping dead of heroin, okay? Now, many of my friends, tragically, are still alive. And I know a ton of people who need an exit strategy off this planet like fucking you have no idea. The best thing for a lot of the people I know would be an inoperable tumor and a GoFundMe. That would be the best thing for a lot of the fucking people I know. They're 35. They don't have shit to get. It ain't getting better, folks. A lot of my friends, it is not getting better out there. Your best hope is a doctor says, wrap it up. Let's fucking rein it in. Get on there. GoFundMe. Here's 50 grand. Piss that away for 12 months. And then go and see what there is to see. But it's sad. Sad that that's what's happening out there. Jeffrey Epstein, everybody's flipping out. Everybody's like, the scandal. Now, Jeffrey Epstein, if you don't know, is a billionaire pedophile. He had a private island called Little St. James. It was in like, I forget, not the British Virgin Islands, the French Virgin Islands. It was somewhere. He had a plane called the Lolita Express. People like Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew were frequent guests on the plane. The plane would take people all over the place, not only to his island. He would make other trips. But Clinton, I think, a few trips left his Secret Service detail off the plane and just took the plane. So it's like, well, what are you doing? Why do you feel so safe? That's the question. So Jeffrey Epstein's a guy. He's a financier. He lives in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. He has this island. He flies people all over the place in his plane to the island. His friend, British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell, and him are supposedly two people that ran an international pedophile, you want to call it pedophile, whatever term you want to use, for a sex ring that involved underage girls, for the most part. Although there might have been underage men involved, I don't know. But now also, Jeffrey Epstein, of course, was given a sweetheart deal by a judge who I believe is now the Secretary of Labor. I'm going to check that out. I think his name is Acosta. And he gave Jeffrey Epstein a sweetheart deal where Jeffrey Epstein served a very small amount of time in a federal penitentiary and did not have to disclose any of the names of his co-conspirators. And which is a big deal, assuming if they're people like Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton, these are serious people. You don't want to have to name the people that you're dealing with. And now, of course, Epstein's lawyers are like, no, he's not. There's no proof that he is running a sex ring. This whole thing's been overblown, blah, blah, blah. So what happened? I'll tell you guys some of the updates, okay? This is very recently. Long secret documents pertaining to billionaire hedge fund manager Jeffrey Epstein's child sex trafficking scandal may soon become public as a result of a new court ruling. The documents include years-old witness interviews, legal rulings, and other court records collected in 2015. when a woman named Virginia Guffrey sued Epstein's former partner, Ghislaine Maxwell, the British socialite, for defamation, claiming that Maxwell had publicly denied recruiting her into Epstein's sex ring when she was 16. So she says, you recruited me. Maxwell says, no, I didn't. You're a liar. She says, I'm hitting you with a suit for defamation. Now, the specifics of the documents are obviously not yet public based on, I don't know how to say her name, G-I-U-F-F-R-E, Jeffries lawsuit. It is likely that they contain a slew of damning information about allegations that have circulated. I'm going to keep reading this, but I do want to caution you people about something. Remember when Trump declassified the JFK documents and everybody thought that we were going to know, well, not everybody, but morons thought that we were going to know that one of those documents was going to be like, and this is who killed JFK. And there's going to be a line with the person's name on it. And none of that happened. I wonder why none of that happened. Because a lot of those documents were redacted. A lot of them had important information left out. And certain documents were released. Certain documents weren't. There was all kinds of reasons why. In that case, it was pertaining to national security. In this case, the release of what documents get made public and what's in those documents, I don't know yet. But I would caution anybody against thinking that a slew of documents is going to necessarily, it'll deepen the intrigue, meaning that once these documents come out, this cache of documents comes out, a lot of the sleuths on Reddit and places like that are going to do their digging and investigating, and some of them are going to make some pretty good connections, and some of them won't. And some of them will concoct elaborate conspiracy theories, and some of them will hit on pretty close to the truth. But I just want to caution everybody that thinks that documents are always going to lead you to somewhere meaningful. Oftentimes they don't. Oftentimes it's more questions than answers. But what you can do is you could take that big cache of information and then you can try to figure out what exactly you can ascertain from those documents. So the Miami Herald last November produced this bombshell investigation, and it was where Epstein coerced at least 80 girls to giving him massages and perform other sexual acts on him and others. So again, Epstein's got this island. It's not just him getting fucked, okay? He's got an island. He's a man about town. He is a billionaire. His black book, which Nick Bryant, who's sick, has the names of some of the most powerful people in the world, okay? Doesn't mean they're all fucking pedophiles. Doesn't mean they're all going to his island. But it means he's a billionaire. He's a connected guy, okay? You ever see Donnie Brasco? Friend of mine, friend of ours. Epstein's a friend of ours, okay? A lot of people know who he is. He's probably made some of the money. So the Miami Herald investigation exposes Epstein, 80 girls, meaning it's a ring. It's not a few girls. It's not a few of his buddies, you know. So basically, this is what it looks like. Imagine you're a U.S. attorney spearheading the prosecution of an alleged serial sexual abuser of children. You have statements from dozens of self-identified victims, teenage girls who do not know each other, but they tell virtually identical stories, which is, again, like what happened in the Franklin scandal. You basically have people corroborating each other's claims that don't know each other. They didn't get together to bring down fucking Jeffrey Epstein, okay? They provide corroborating descriptions of the suspect's genitalia, which people say is weird. They say it's like a little egg. This is what they say. This is what they say. I've never been there. I haven't seen it. The victims unanimously say that the suspect operated a kind of sex pyramid schemes. This is what he would do. And by the way, Trump threw this guy out of Mar-a-Lago. This is how bad this guy was. Do you know how bad you have to be for Donald Trump to throw you out of Mar-a-Lago? Do you have any idea what you have to be engaging in to get thrown out of Mar-a-Lago? Okay? You have to be either A, not white, or B, running an international pedophile ring. Those are the two ways you can get kicked out. But no, Epstein hit on an underage girl who was the daughter of one of the members. The member freaked out. Trump threw him out of Mar-a-Lago. And before that, Trump knew the guy. I mean, Trump's quoting, going, oh, Jeffrey likes young, beautiful women, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if Trump knew the extent of what he was into. Probably not. I think in that world, from what I've read about it, we've had a lot of authors come on and talk about it, it's kind of a don't ask, don't tell. Whether you're involved in shady shit, and they're all involved in some type of shady shit, whether it's business, financial fraud, whether your kids are fucked up, whether you're fucking people you shouldn't be fucking, whether you're having an affair on your wife, no matter what you're doing, you don't want the spotlight on you. So it's kind of this tacit agreement to just, you know, maybe you're not into fucking going on the Lolita Express and going to the pedophile island, but you don't want to dig too deeply into those who are, because maybe you're fucking cheating on your taxes, or maybe you're having an affair with your wife, or maybe you're doing something where you don't need enemies. You really don't. No one needs enemies, but you don't need enemies that are billionaires. Certainly. You don't need enemies who can fucking do a lot to disrupt the comfort of your life. So that's why I think you find a lot of these people don't know what's going on. This isn't a situation where you have everybody at this echelon of society in on it. Everybody's not having secret meetings, but there are people that just kind of nod and shrug their shoulders and go, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, your friend's fucked up. You know, your friend's a dick to his girlfriend, you know, blah, blah, you know, on a much smaller scale, and you don't do anything. You don't get involved because it's not your life. It's not your business. So, but this is what all these victims say he did. He would offer barely prepubescent girls a lot of money to come to his house and give him a quote-unquote massage, coerce them into performing sex acts during and after the massage, offer those who liked the money but not the molestation more pay in exchange for luring other barely prepubescent girls to his home. Okay, they've uncovered phone records, flight logs, written messages corroborating all these claims, okay? A search of the suspect's property turned up naked photos of underage girls, written instructions for delivering flowers to a high school, local high school. Great. A dresser drawer full of sex toys, loose dangling wires all over the property. The suspect having apparently removed all of his computer hard drive, surveillance cameras, and videos from the house shortly before the team arrived. Okay. Now, I want to talk about that for a minute because this is something that we will have Nick eventually on when he feels better. I think here's what people miss. When they're talking about this type of activity, they miss the angle that is potentially blackmail. When we had Nick on, we talked about the Franklin scandal, which was an interstate pedophile network run out of Omaha, Nebraska, where kids were being peddled to wealthy, powerful people all over the country, but a lot of them in D.C., and there was a house in D.C. in the Colorama area where this guy Craig Spence would have these orgies, and you know, you'd have these teenage boys come over and hang out with fucking senators and do all kinds of fucked up shit. The house was outfitted for blackmail. There were cameras. There was recording devices. Why? Well, if you can blackmail somebody in that way, if you can get them in a compromising position with somebody who's underage, you own them forever. So if you're the CIA or if you're a foreign intelligence agency, one of the, and this is how the intelligence agencies have operated forever, compromising assets. That's what they do. They have to compromise you and get you to work for them, deliver them information. Maybe they want you to vote a certain way on a certain issue. Maybe they want you to, maybe you were just a way to get to someone else, but whatever it is, they need to somehow compromise you. And there's ways you can do it. There's drugs, there's alcohol, there's money. There's all the things that we talked about earlier, but sex is a great way to compromise people. This is one of the most, if not the most effective way to compromise an asset. And everybody will kind of tell you that. And they get videotapes of you doing these heinous, disgusting, illegal things that would completely ruin your life and put you in jail. And now you have no choice but to go with the program. So now they own you, whoever these people are. So I'm willing to imagine that something of Epstein's scale, okay? Because you have to remember, it's a fucking private island. This guy's not, this is a billionaire who has a private island where some of the wealthy and most powerful people in the world have gone. I'm willing to bet I would be, and I usually don't talk out of turn on the show. I don't like to talk out of turn. I don't like to, but if I had to guess, was there some element of blackmail here? Absolutely. I don't see why not. You have this operation. You have these very powerful people. Even if the blackmail is simply to just enforce everybody's code of silence, okay, there'd be some element of blackmail there. I think the blackmail probably goes much deeper than that, and it usually does. It usually involves intelligence services, domestic or foreign, but this is what I imagine part of Epstein's operation involved, was some level of blackmail. This is something I've had conversations with Nick Bryan about. Nick is of that belief too. You don't have an operation on this scale, this scope, with these kinds of people without that element. It's interesting that he removed all of the surveillance equipment from the property before the investigative team arrived. It says investigators have begun to uncover evidence that the suspect was involved in bringing 13-year-old girls from Brazil and Ecuador to the United States to work as prostitutes at his sex parties. The guy's a demon, you know? I mean, the guy's truly a demon. He's demonic. I mean, let's be honest. And our leaders are on his plane. They're on his plane. So here's the deal. The suspect, I tell you all that to tell you this, and this is some good reporting done by The Cut, New York Magazine. I usually shit on New York Magazine when it writes about comedy, but I do enjoy some of their food writing, and this was actually very well done. So good job. But I mean, a lot of people had this reporting. You know, it's pretty general, but I will say this. So Epstein has lawyers, obviously. The federal prosecutors and Epstein's lawyers, they obtain emails and documents that show that, like, it's not an adversarial relationship. It's quite collaborative, which is weird. If you're importing 13- and 14-year-old girls from Ecuador to be prostitutes, you should be going to jail for a very, very long time. And the prosecutors should be disgusted and repulsed by you, as I am. It's not a good thing. This, you're not a kid who fucked up, okay? You're also a billionaire. But it's very interesting. So the reality is, this is what happens, okay? This is what happens. This is the agreement, okay? This is the plea agreement that Jeffrey Epstein gets, okay? Immunity from all related federal criminal charges, not only for himself, but also for any potential co-conspirators who might have been involved in those federal crimes. This provision would effectively forbid the FBI from looking any further into the evidence of international sex trafficking. I mean, you cannot make it up, folks. Folks, you cannot make it up. Immunity from all related federal criminal charges. Again, they're digging up that the guy's bringing in 13-year-old girls from other countries to fuck wealthy, powerful people on his private island. And I'm sure there's a lot of American girls too. Maybe not. I don't know. But he's bringing in children that he's turning into prostitutes. And they're giving immunity from all. And then saying the FBI, stop looking into this. You don't need to look into this. We've solved this. We've wrapped it up. We've wrapped it up. Go home. Listen to this. It goes on, okay? This is amazing. So this forbids the FBI from looking in any further evidence of sex trafficking, making it retroactively legal for anyone to have conspired with the suspect to rape any of the alleged victims. Because the FBI cannot look into it and they can't bring any cases retroactively, effectively, whatever you did is essentially, hey, oopsie, whoopsie. So the FBI turns the international sex trafficking and the rape of children into, oops. What'd you do? I knocked over a glass of milk. Well, we're okay with that. Move on. 13-month sentence. How many people are serving longer sentences for smoking a fucking blunt in their driveway? Fuck this country. A 13-month sentence to be served in a private wing of a county jail, which is nicer than my apartment. If you want to know what that is. A federal prison, a private wing of a county jail is literally nicer than my home. Okay? Except for the 6 days a week when the suspect works. On those days, he'll be allowed to commute to his private office and work for 12 hours. Are you fucking kidding me? The guy gets to go to work, 13-month sentence, private wing of jail, and then on the days he works, 6 days a week. 6 days a week he works. During those days, he'll be allowed to commute to his private office and work for 12 hours. So he's effectively only sleeping in jail. For 6 days a week, he's actually fucking working. It goes on. It gets better, folks. It gets better. How many black and Hispanic people are sitting in jail rotting for nothing? Because they fucking smoke weed or sold a negligible amount of weed. How many fucking families have been torn apart? It's crazy. This fucking billionaire. But no, there's nothing here, right? Conspiracies don't exist. We're all fucking nuts. Really? Fuck you. You know that's a lie. This would be a great time for an ad right now. a commitment that his agreement will be kept secret from the self-identified victims so they do not have the opportunity to protest the arrangement in court. Okay? Okay? They keep the agreement from the fucking victims. Okay? Can you imagine? These are literally the fucking circumstances of Epstein's plea. And he was doing all of the things that and I didn't even go into the more lurid conspiratorial stuff. We will. But these are just the facts of the matter. There's 80 women. They've all corroborated each other's claims. They're underage. He's been convicted before of molesting a 14-year-old girl. The guy is fucking importing girls in from other countries. He's got insanely powerful friends. He's got a private fucking island. He's got a very weird temple on that island. I don't know what that is, but Google Epstein Island Temple. My producers, the great Nate and Bobby Hutch is here today. It's always good to see Bobby. Bobby's not always here. Bobby's doing a lot of very important things, but it's every now and then Bobby stops in, and we appreciate when he's here. But can you imagine? So here's what they say, too. They go, you have the federal prosecutors and the defense attorneys. Their relationship was a little too close for comfort. It's clear from emails and other records that prosecutors spent a lot of time figuring out a way to settle the case with the least amount of scandal. And so, the least amount of scandal, okay? Instead of charging Epstein with a sex offense, prosecutors considered a witness tampering and obstruction charges and misdemeanors that would allow Epstein to secretly plead guilty in Miami instead of Palm Beach County, where most of his victims live. It would limit media exposure and making it less likely. So the hoops that they are, yeah, it says Google. All I see is fucking Google, guys. Thank you. There it is. So if you're watching the show right now live, there is the temple that is on Epstein's private island, Little St. James. I don't know what the fuck that is. Somebody said, leave it up there, please. Thank you. If you know what this is, you can tweet at me. You can fucking send me a message. Somebody said it's a replica of a temple that's in Israel. Somebody said that it's a Masonic. I don't know. I really don't know what it is, folks. I have no idea what that is. It looks, it almost looks like a mosque. I mean, it's got a weird look to it. I don't know. But what the fuck's going on in there? What is happening in there? I don't want to sound crazy or conspiratorial, but we have a guy and we have the government is bending over backwards to get a guy who's clearly running an international sex ring to make his life as comfortable as possible. His plea agreement as insanely comfortable as humanly possible. And then he's running the sex ring on this island and he's got this weird temple on it. And I don't know what goes on in there. So I will tell you this. So as of recently, so that happened. That's the backstory to all of this. Okay. And then what happens is there was now people are looking into it. So there's been some outrage about this. Okay. Quite fucking understandably. People are like, well, what the fuck is going on? So there's been a lot of pressure for the Justice Department to kind of look into how this plea deal happened. What were the circumstances surrounding it? Why did he get such lenient terms when he clearly did a lot of crazy, criminal, disgusting things? Why is he allowed to go to jail for 10 hours a day in a private wing and not have to inform on anybody? Shouldn't you want to get to the bottom of this and fucking identify everybody who was involved in this? Guess not. But so the Justice Department re-looking into the case, okay? So the case, which was settled in 2017, contains more than 1,000 documents, lawyers said during oral arguments. Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, his British socialite friend, who's probably running the whole thing with him, is the only one fighting to keep the case sealed. Alan Dershowitz is involved, the lawyer. It was, somebody accused him of raping them, and Alan Dershowitz has denied that. He also said, when all the documents are released, it will come out that I'm innocent. However, the lawyer of the girl who's accusing him said, the documents will prove him guilty. This is the thing about documents. There's going to be a lot in there. You'll have to sift through it. People are going to be able to make arguments. Rarely do you read any document and go, well, there it is. Clear as day. there's probably a lot of legalese, maybe some things redacted. So basically, that's where we're at. We're awaiting a document dump. And this guy Acosta, which is kind of hilarious. So he's the guy, by the way, okay? This is the guy that gives Epstein this, you know, sweetheart deal, okay? He's now the Secretary of Labor. So Alexander Acosta speaks at the White House. He's now the Secretary of Labor, okay? And he was the guy who helped fucking get this sweetheart deal for Jeffrey Epstein. And he was rewarded with a cabinet position. The ruling, so basically the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit said it intends to open documents and go in and basically let it all out. Comes just 5 days after a three-judge panel heard arguments over a request by the Miami Herald, Harvard University law professor Alan Dershowitz, and others to unseal the document. It follows a February ruling from a federal court in Florida that Acosta, Secretary of Labor, and other prosecutors violated the law by failing to properly inform Epstein's accusers of the plea deal. That's kind of the legal hill that people are dying on now. They're saying, even though the plea deal was insane, it was lenient, it bared no resemblance to the fucking crime committed. It was crazy how it was done. But by not informing the victims of that plea deal, it's actually illegal, so you violated the law, okay? And the agreement allowed the well-connected financier to escape serious criminal charges. So there you have it, folks. Now we're waiting the documents. So this is where we're at with this particular case. We'll have Brian on, but I know that you guys wanted to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it because, you know, I wanted to refresh my memory again on what exactly it was and how insane it is. But you look at that, you have all those facts. It's clearly a ring. This is clearly not a guy who's got a few girls around for his own personal amusement. He's running an operation. He's got his own plane. He's got his own island. He's got 80 fucking girls. 80 people is so many people to all tell the same story about what's going on and corroborate each other's details. This is he's bringing in girls from Ecuador. He's bringing them in from other places. It's international. Okay, he's friends with Prince Andrew. He's friends with Bill Clinton. So all of the people that he's friends with are not even, he's a billionaire. It's the jet set. They're people from all over the world. They're visiting his island. And I mean, if you just look, and I there's so much more here that I want to get into with Nick. And there's a lot here that's very tempting to get into because it's kind of these lurid conspiracies that aren't backed up by facts. But the facts of the case are so striking, you don't really even need that other shit to realize something bad is going on. Something is going on that is hidden from public view. People have bent over backwards to help this guy out. I don't think it's just because he's a billionaire. I think it's because he's connected to some very powerful people, and those people did not want their names being muddied by this investigation or by a very public, scandalous trial. So they did this very quickly, and I believe that. And I believe it's not simply a class argument. I mean, it is in the sense that rich people obviously have a better, you know, have a better shot when they're in court. They're treated better by the criminal justice system. But I think this is even goes deeper than that. Just the idea that this guy and his operation could potentially compromise large numbers of very powerful people who are doing some things that if we knew about those things, their entire legacies would be ruined and they themselves might go to jail. So that's what you have to realize. If you're sleeping with underage people, if you're procuring underage people on a private island and everybody finds out about it, it's not going to look good. There's not a PR firm in the world that's going to be able to turn that around. And these fucks know that. So that's why there's so much pressure to make things like that go away. But because of the internet, because of all kinds of different shows, because of the pressure that now there's public outcry because this information is so readily available. I mean, imagine you didn't have the internet. You didn't have these avenues. People could not discuss these things. They couldn't question these things. They couldn't share information with each other. You really would be innocent. Now, is this going to matter at the end of the day? I don't know. I'm a cynical person, and I think that very possibly, even after all these documents are released, nobody's going to jail. I mean, these guys have been doing this shit forever. Yes, would it be nice to see them going to jail? Yes, but if I had to bet, if I'm a betting man, I'm betting on the rich kid fuckers to pull it out again. They seem to always evade capture. I think they'll probably do it again. Unfortunately, this is kind of the society that we live in. But if we couldn't share the information and talk about this shit, you wouldn't even fucking be able to put any pressure on the authorities to look into this, to reopen the case, to dump the documents, all of this shit. Even the JFK, you know, the movie JFK got people interested in the case again, and there was all these new freedom of information requests, like, let's see these documents. What the fuck happened, you know? But, you know, Little St. James, which is the island, by the way, it's that Epstein has, you know, the island with the fucking temple. I mean, could you? If you wanted to design a story that would make Reddit go crazy, Stephen Hawking was there, you know. I mean, can you blame Stephen Hawking, though? That poor guy. He looked like a cooked shrimp. That guy. Let him, you know what I mean? It's Stephen Hawking. The guy's a genius, and he looks like a crawfish. Let him have some fun. You know? I'm sure somebody's going to take that clip, and I'm going to get in real. They're talking about that pagan temple on Reddit, man. Somebody messaged me before I did the show. Get into the temple, man. Figure out what the temple is. They're sacrificing people there. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But I always find it interesting when someone's engaged in such despicable behavior and is very outwardly religious. By the way, that's all of them. They're all religious. So all of these fuckers, it's just funny to me. I mean, not funny like, you know, but it's just, you know, interesting. You have the Catholic Church. All of these people tend to rationalize all their behavior. They're all very religious. So it is very possible that this fucking site, it's almost sicker. If he's not doing anything occult and he's not sacrificing people, he's just fucking kids and going to morning mass. That's even crazier. It's even crazier if it's just a real temple that he's going to. What did we do? Fuck a bunch of 13-year-olds? Okay, now let us pray. Let us pray for a good harvest. You know, I mean, but this is what people do. So it's almost crazier if that's the case. But I don't know. I mean, we'll look into this. I got to go back to LA next week for some shit, but we're going to have Brian on. We're going to try to have him Skype in or something, because Nick really is the foremost expert on this stuff. He is the guy for sex trafficking. He is the guy that has looked under the hood, talked to real people. He's gone and found things you cannot just find on the internet, okay? So it'll be interesting to see what he's got. I think Spacey was at the island. I'm not sure. But one thing that this does suggest is there are a lot of people that after Pizzagate happened, and we've talked about Pizzagate on the show, and we've said that there's no victims, there's no real evidence, there's a lot of weird Instagram posts and shit like that. But, you know, I've never been moved completely by just the optics of anything. I need some raw information, which you have in the Franklin scandal, and you have in a lot of these other cases. So it is there. And if great journalists and people like that can't dig up anything, something's weird. That being said, a lot of people after Pizzagate just kind of dismiss the idea of organized sex trafficking, or that sex trafficking could happen and that elites would be involved and that very wealthy people would be involved and they would be pulling the strings and it would be organized and it would be coordinated. And this, by the way, completely proves that that does fucking happen. Absolutely, there is no argument to be made that that doesn't happen. I always believed it happened. Most people believe it happened. Most people know that if you're wealthy and, you know, you can avail yourself of all kinds of services that poor people can't. But the idea that people just, and I see these dumb, you know, some writer in LA is like, I'm enjoying True Detective season 3 of Pizzagate. He's just, and I don't know, True Detective season 3, maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But again, it's just making fun of the idea that sex trafficking happens and that it could happen here and that there could be wealthy Americans involved in it and involved in keeping it quiet. And the entire Jeffrey Epstein case is bigger, it's bigger in scope than really anything else out there, except Franklin, which was huge. But it's a great example of how this is not only happening, but it is covered up at the highest levels. It is 100%. And I'm not sold on the fact that even after the documents are released, that it won't be covered up again. And I think it is. But there, you cannot make any argument that this is some flight of fantasy or that this is some wild conspiracy. There's a private fucking island. There's 80 chicks saying that they were fucking molested when they were children. You have a guy that's been convicted. He's a convicted pedophile. You have a Lolita Express, his jet, flying around all these very wealthy people, powerful people, to that island. Well, what are they doing on the island? Why are they going to the island? For the breakfast? Is it a good breakfast? Is that where they're going? Are the views nice? No, it's fucking sex trafficking. So let's cut the shit, folks. We know that shit like that goes on. Hopefully we're going to have Nick Bryant come in when he has feeling better, because I know how sick people are. I feel so bad for them. I know it's the flu season and he couldn't do Thursday morning, you know, because the flu is worse in the morning. I don't know. But we love Nick. We'll have him on again. TimDillonComedy.com. And by the way, that's great GoFundMe advice, folks. That's great GoFundMe advice, because a lot of people are like, they're very intimidated when they see these GoFundMes. They're like, how do I do it? How do I do it? What do I choose? Who do I help? Who do I not help? I've given you a fucking, I give you so much wisdom on the show and I get nothing out of it. I get so little out of it from you people. Really, so little out of it. I'd like you to rate, subscribe, review the podcast, subscribe to Gas Digital, promo code HELL, get all the archives. Or even just, you know, see me in the street, just look at me and say thank you. Don't even identify. Don't go, oh, you Tim Dillon. Who cares? Worst comes to worst, you say thank you to some other fat chick. Just come up to me and you say thank you, because I've told you how to do GoFundMe now, and it's going to change your life. Once you realize that GoFundMe is a vehicle that allows you to project your own sense of self-worth into the puzzle, what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Other people are going to get helped. It's true. Other people are going to get fucking helped. So TimDillonComedy.com, all upcoming dates should be on there. Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram and Twitter. If you like a video that we do, retweet it, repost it on Instagram, like, comment, subscribe to Tim Dillon's Going to Hell. It's our YouTube channel. Go and subscribe to that. We're putting out all these full videos for a few weeks before they go back. I think it's like 8 weeks or something before they go back. We're putting out a lot of great clips of the show that we do. Make sure you do that. It's a big deal. We appreciate it. So subscribe to the YouTube channel, Tim Dillon's Going to Hell. Rate and review the podcast. I'll be at Laugh Boston in May. I'll be at the DC Improv April 4th through the 6th. If you're in Washington, D.C., you want to talk about an occult, fucking evil place that I love performing in, because they're fun. These evil people are fun. Come on out, DC Improv, April 4th through 6th. We have a great fucking time. I'm going to be at Laugh Boston. I'm going to be coming to Dead Crow, Wilmington, North Carolina, the great Skank Fest in June. You can see me. I'll be there. But come see me on the road. It's a great show. We have a lot of fun. And subscribe to the podcast if you can on iTunes. We're always trying to get that iTunes rating higher. We appreciate it. So this episode is basically just to kind of brush you up on what's going on with Epstein. So you get in an argument with some idiot at your fucking job who tells you that sex trafficking cults don't fucking exist, you got the fucking info to corner that motherfucker, tell them they're wrong. They are wrong. We have it in black and white. This isn't a conspiracy. This isn't a fucking movie. It's not an idea. This is a verifiable thing where horrible people get away with horrible things. And by the way, this is only the shit we know about. This is only the shit that's fucking risen to the top. Can you imagine what goes on that we don't have any clue about in this fucking country? So I'm a little sick of people. I know after Trump got elected, and I talked about it on Rogan, people like to shit on conspiracy theorists. They like to call us crazy. No, fuck you. You explain to me what everybody was doing at that fucking island. You tell me why they're all on the planes. You tell me what the hell's going on. And you tell me why this guy gets such a fucking sweetheart deal. It's swept under the rug. No, something's going on. There's no way this isn't a much bigger story than we even think it is, okay? Because we just did the fucking facts here, and everybody's mind is blown. I have people in the studio looking at me like, oh, my God. These are just the fucking facts of the thing. We're going to get so much deeper with Nick Bryant. We're going to start talking about
God only knows all these other possibilities that I didn't even want to go into because I don't want to talk out of turn. Nick is the expert. But this gives you a good, solid understanding of what's going on. Hopefully next week, Nick will rip the veil off this, and this episode will fucking seem quaint. This will seem like a family episode compared to what Nick is, because Nick's hair is white. He's looked the devil in the face. I mean, the guy's completely, I mean, he's out of his mind, you know? And I mean, you would be too if you fucking looked into this shit, you know? The guy started writing a book, and he stumbled on the Franklin scandal, and guy looks like a ghost, you know? But he's sick. So next week, he's coming in. I don't have a GoFundMe, folks, yet. But when I am dying and when I have a GoFundMe, you go on there and you rock out. You rock out in front of all the other subscribers. You show them what a big fucking man you are. Okay? Thank you. Goodbye.